The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
We are live in Israel, and the phone lines are wide open. Love to talk to you today from the land.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here we are, live from the land of Israel. This is Michael Brown, absolutely delighted to be with you. Here's the number to call. I'm going to open up the phone lines for anything you want to talk to me about. 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to open the phone lines wide so you can call in. Talk about Israel and talk about anything. You can ask me any kind of question. I'd love to chat with you today. But first, I got to tell you about my last 24, 30-something hours. It has been quite an interesting trip thus far. The tour group arrives tomorrow, so I got in about a day and a half early so I could get some rest, meet with some friends, do some extra writing and preparation so I have more time just to focus in. Because of my schedule being what it is in terms of being a late night person, I ended up basically staying up almost the entire flight, just rested a little. I thought, okay, this way when I arrive, it'll be about 2 a.m, and then I'll conk out for a few hours, and then had a plan. I was meeting with one of our grads, and we're going to do an interview together, and then I was going to share, give an update on what's happening in Israel, and then tour group arrives tomorrow. Except when I got to the airport, everything right on time, arrived in Tel Aviv, there were just some paperwork errors, whatever the deal was, that caused me to get delayed. So instead of just going right through passport control like I normally would have immediately, I had to go over to this immigration section and meet with someone. The problem was there was a large group of Russian pilgrims, Christian pilgrims, including some Russian Orthodox priests, maybe about 40, 50, 60 total, and all of their passports were being collected, plus another group from Argentina. They were stopped. Their passports were being collected, so it ended up that I just basically, because they were there first, and there was this large group that had to be interviewed, and anyway, 7 hours. I was at the airport waiting 7 hours, and there's nothing you can do. You're just waiting to get in. So 7 hours waiting, and by the way, there's a whole lot more drama. I just can't get into that part. Then it turns out that one of my two pieces of luggage didn't make it over. And, you know, you travel systematically. I've been around the world. I've been on endless trips. You travel very systematically. You know what to pack. I have special foodstuffs that I bring with me because of my lifestyle and all of this. And anyway, one big piece of luggage did not make it, did not get put on the plane in Atlanta. So I'm still without that piece of luggage. And then our radio equipment to be broadcasting beginning tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, your time, that's coming with the tour group at 85 people. That unit is coming with the tour group. So I was pre-recording today's show. Would have been earlier today, a live interview for Israel that I was going to then share with you. But instead, we had to figure out a way to do live radio without the normal unit. So here we are, but I'm actually with you. And one piece, and kind of missing a night's sleep, I would say, and turn in early tonight, God willing, and be ready to welcome the tour group tomorrow. But these things do happen. We are here. All is well. And it makes me wonder if there might be something special that God really wants to do on this tour, if he really wants to meet the tour group. You know, that's why I'm here. I'm not here to do outreach or missionary work or anything like that. I'm here to be leading a tour and pouring into everybody on the tour and praying together and spending time answering questions and doing all those kinds of things. So very much excited about being with everyone, but maybe the Lord's going to do something special because this is absolutely unique in terms of series of issues and problems from the seven. So remember, this is after a 12-hour flight, which was after a three-hour layover, after a one-hour flight. And then, yeah, you could just figure, get to the airport, you're ready to crash for a while, and instead 7 hours waiting. So an exciting beginning to the trip. And it would be great if you could just pray blessing and just ask the Lord to do some exceptional things as we're here in the land and to really bless everyone that's going to be on the tour group, that it would be a time of encountering the Lord. You know, one day we do baptisms at River Jordan. And I've got to be totally honest with you. When I was asked on our first tour to do water baptisms at Jordan, I didn't want to do it. I thought, I'll do it because I was asked to. But I thought to myself, that's kind of hokey. You know, getting baptized in the River Jordan isn't like bringing back holy oil from the whole land. You know, it seemed a little hokey. But folks wanted to do it, and I knew they were sincere about it. So I agreed to do it. And boy, I'll tell you, it was sacred. There was something just very, very special about it. And the Lord present in a really unique, beautiful way. So we've done those each trip now. I guess this will be the fourth time. And each one has been sacred and powerful and very real to the people being baptized. You know, and it's a reminder that something may not be significant to you, but that doesn't mean it's not significant to others. And it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't give it significance. So I look forward to this. For me, it's a highlight on each trip to do these, and probably be a lot on this trip, the actual number. Anyway, I just want to give you that update. We will be broadcasting from Israel over the next week and a half, roughly. And then I travel back by way of Wales, speaking at a conference in Wales at the famous Rees Howes Bible College. In fact, I may chat with you a bit more about Rees Howes in a minute and the ministry of prayer. But if you've got a question, like to ask me, anything you'd like to talk to me about, 866-348-7884. And Kai, our producer back in North Carolina, Kai and Chris, we may grab some questions off of YouTube. So go ahead and let folks know that we may post some questions directly off YouTube today as well and interact with people there. All right, so this right now is a season, from May 7th to May 28th, where Christians around the world are praying for Israel in the most concerted way that I'm aware of in my lifetime. Now, there may have been much Christian prayer at other times during crisis, say, you know, around the time of World War II or the forming of the State of Israel or the Six-Day War. But in terms of anything that I can remember as a believer in my 51-plus years in the Lord, I can't remember a call for prayer like this. And it's based on Isaiah 62. Starts with those beautiful Hebrew words, Lamatan Sion Loesh Sheh, Lamatan Yerushalayim Loesh Kot. For the sake of Zion, I will not hold back. For the sake of Jerusalem, I will not be silent until her righteousness shines forth, until her righteousness goes forth and her salvation and deliverance burns like a torch. It's a beautiful passage. And in that passage, it says that God has put watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, and he calls them Mazkirei Adonai, those who put the Lord in remembrance. He's put watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, and he says, give me no rest. He says, give yourselves no rest. Think of this. This is God speaking. You who put the Lord in remembrance, give yourselves no rest, and give God no rest. This is God asking that. Give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem as the praise of all the earth. How will that happen? That will happen as the Jewish people turn in mass to God. that will happen as the Jewish people turn in mass and recognize the true Messiah. That is when Jerusalem will be the praise of all the earth. But Christians are praying for God's blessing on Israel. Christians are praying for God's protection of Israel. Christians are praying for God's purposes to be fulfilled in Israel, many fasting and seeking the face of God right now. And it's an amazing time to be here in the midst of all this prayer. Let me say one other thing about intercession. It is really, really powerful to remind God of his promises. It is really, really powerful to say, Lord, you promised. Isn't that how Moses prayed when God was going to wipe out Israel? When God said, okay, you've sinned, I'm going to wipe you out as a nation and start a new nation through you, Moses. And Moses appealed to God, and he reminded God of his character, and he reminded God of his promises. This is what we do in intercession. And Rees Howells, who was one of the great intercessors in the 20th century, felt that intercession was a different level than just prayer. That prayer was powerful, and it was part of what we did in our life in the Lord. But intercession took it to another level. And there were three keys that author Norman Grubb identified in the life of Rees Howells in terms of what it meant to be an intercessor. And the three points were identification, agony, and authority. Let me say those again. Identification, agony, and authority. By identification, that meant that you totally put yourself in the situation of the person you're praying for, that their burden becomes your burden, that their battle becomes your battle. And if they are in a life and death situation, then if they're in a life and death situation, you pray as if you were in a life and death situation. That it's not just a casual prayer for someone in crisis, it's spiritually getting in the crisis with them. So identification, carrying the burden as if it were your own. And then from there, the next thing is agony. That when you carry the burden, when you now get yourself in the thick of the battle for someone else, the pain becomes real. The intense way, it brings you out to that place of authority. It brings you out to that place of extraordinary breakthrough and victory. So I want to encourage you, as you pray for Israel, allow the burden of the Lord to come on your heart. Allow the Lord to burden you with the weight that's on his heart for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God did not choose Israel to bring Israel back to the land because of Israel's righteousness and goodness, because of his righteousness, because of his goodness. All right, friends, we'll be right back, and we will go take some calls and return. Stay right here.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health. Over the years, I have helped countless people increase and maintain their natural energy production with Alfred Libby's slow-dissolve Super B12, sold only by Trivita. I have never met anyone deficient in caffeine or sugar, but I have met many people deficient in energy-supporting vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 is one of the 8 B vitamins, and it is an essential nutrient, meaning the body cannot make B12 on its own. You see, unlike other oral B12 supplements, Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12 is fast-acting because the formula is scientifically developed to dissolve under the tongue, bypassing the digestive process, making it immediately available for use in the body. Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12 is also formulated with other natural energy-supporting ingredients, such as folate, ginseng root, and other natural ingredients. Not only are the ingredients beneficial for energy, but they also support healthy cognition, mood, nerve function, and natural hemoglobin production. You deserve to live with greater energy and mental clarity. And now, like millions of others, you can with Alfred Livy's Slow Dissolve Super B12, sold only by your wellness partner, Trivita.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. That number again is 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are live in Israel. Voice sounds a little different. It's because it's a live broadcast from Israel, not our normal studio. But hopefully, when the rest of our radio equipment arrives, God willing, tomorrow, that we will be back with studio quality, even on the road. Hey, just a reminder, our friends at Trivita are donating 100% of your first order to The Line of Fire and more than a tithe of all subsequent orders. So do take advantage of the special offer and the special discount. And yeah, that's one of the things that I'm bummed by. That's my luggage that didn't make it had all my Trivita products in it. Yes. Three Trivita products that I used every day, actually a fourth. Yeah. So that is the deal. I'm just going to have to make it without Trivita for a day or two, but then eager to get it plugged back into my body. All right. Any question of any kind on any subject, 866-348-7884. I want to say this one more time about Israel. God said to Israel in the Old Testament through Moses, I didn't choose you because you were better than anybody else. I didn't choose you because you were bigger. I chose you because I loved the fathers. It was God's love for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because of that, he chose Israel. When he brought Israel back from Babylonian captivity in Ezekiel 36, he said, I'm not doing this for your sake, but my name is being blasphemed. And for the sake of my holy name, I'm bringing you back, and you don't deserve it, but I'm doing it. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, have we ever complained when God is gracious to us? Have we ever complained when God is merciful to us? Have we ever said, well, God, that's not fair? No, we fall on our faces and say, thank you for your grace. So in the same way, God brought the Jewish people back to the land today, not because of our righteousness, but because of his righteousness, his goodness, and because his name was being blasphemed. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Rudolph in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I want to know, what do the different gates in the synagogue mean, such as the sheep gate, the stone gate, and things like that?
Oh, so that wasn't in the synagogue, Rudolph. That was just in ancient Jerusalem. And those were just names that came about, Rudolph, when if places were used for particular things. You know, like this is the exit place here, or this is where dung is dropped off here, or this is where the sheep come through here. So it was just a functional thing. There is not like a special spiritual meaning to it. It is funny, though, Rudolph. Sometimes we read the Bible, and even the most simple things, you know, we're looking for a spiritual meaning in it, whereas it's just like street name there, that those were just names because of functional things over time, and that's what they became known for. Hey, thank you for the question. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Jeff in Dayton, Ohio. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
I'm on the air.
You are on the air, Jeff.
Okay, I guess I have a our question, and I'm here to read verb, so it sounds weird. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. I know that men and women have different roles in the house. We have different roles in the church. This particular pastor, I won't call his name, he's been on the radio. He's preaching a pretty strong message of mercy. And it seems like it's personal that it's really about him, but he's preaching it for the masses. He's a pastor, you may know I'm talking about, it, but not call his name. He's been ordaining women to be pastors of churches. And I think sometimes the congregation starts to deify you. You think you can kind of do anything. You know, you kind of think that, okay, I can do what I want to do. But I think he was shocked that people didn't follow him. And that, and from people that he's respected or people that respect for him or vice versa, he's been getting a lot of backlash from them. So now he's on these series of messages on mercy. But I can tell it's really about him. Because I do believe that he knows that he was wrong. But I believe he's so prideful he admitted he was wrong. Because, like I said,
let me just jump in. You know, obviously we can't sit and judge why someone does what they do in ministry, what their purpose is. We have to look at face value. In other words, if someone teaches a particular doctrine, has a particular practice, lives a particular way, we can evaluate that based on Scripture, but we can't judge the motivation of the heart as to why a particular person does what they do. So if there's an overemphasis on mercy in an unhealthy way, we address that without necessarily trying to figure out why that particular pastor was teaching what they're teaching. But when it comes to ordaining women as pastors, obviously this is a highly divisive issue in the church today and has been for some time. And through history, there have been questions about women involved in ministry. I would encourage you to go to AskDrBrown.org, go to my website, only because I've answered this many, many times on the air, AskDrBrown.org, and type in women pastors. And you'll get some whole shows I've actually done talking about this, and then shorter shows where I've spoken about it as well. My understanding of Scripture is that women can do all kinds of ministry. Women can do all kinds of amazing ministry of virtually all imaginable kinds, but they are not primarily called to be senior leaders. So senior governmental authority I see is coming through male as the general pattern. But Jeff, check out Romans 16 and notice all the women there that are Paul's co-workers. It's amazing how many women served in prominent places in his ministry. And I think that's worth considering and noticing. All right, 866-348-7884. I want to just throw out one more thing about this as I take calls on some interesting subjects, just looking at my board now in front of me. Let me just say this. No one is perfectly qualified for the work of God. In other words, there are standards that God set that we are to live by, but there is no human being outside of Jesus who was perfectly qualified in every way and perfect in every single thing that he believed and taught. And so I'm charismatic. God uses people who are not charismatic, and he uses them powerfully in ministry. And they say, well, Dr. Brown, when you speak in tongues, it's not real. It's just gibberish. Well, I know it's real. And yet, they're being used by God, and they're saying it's not real. I'm saying they're wrong. God's using them. God's using me. We differ on other secondary points. As long as our lives are given over to the Lord and we hold to the fundamentals of the gospel, it's amazing to see how many people God will use. In fact, do I have time to tell you the story really quickly? Yeah, I do. Okay, so there is a pastor sitting, an elder sitting on the platform one day, and a visiting minister came in, walked right on the platform without invitation, and proceeded to deliver a prophetic message to the senior pastor, and to the shock of this elder sitting there, because it seemed this guy was so disruptive and just came in, and who did he think he was, and came up on the platform, and delivered this message without solicitation. What in the world is going on? And this elder said to the Lord, Lord, how can you use him? Because he gave a totally accurate word. How can you use him? And the Lord said to him, I use you. So I always remember that. I hold to what I hold to. There are things that I'm immovable on. There are hills that I'll die on. And then there are many, many other areas where, boy, I'm really surprised that God's using a particular individual, and that individual is surprised that God is using me. It's been said that heaven at one and the same time will be a great eye-opener and a great mouth-closer. There'll be people surprised to see you there, and there'll be people you will be surprised to see as well. All right, I'm going to take some more calls, share some more insights with you. 866-348-7884. And I did a poll, I did a Twitter poll, as to whether people thought Jesus was returning in their lifetimes. I'm going to get into that. I can even open it up on the phones. Not today. That I think going to wait. All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You can't resist.
Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard Grace and Truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message, and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, a Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war the Jesus way, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Live from Israel, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. I apologize that we are not our normal studio quality, but that is what happened with our Live from Israel broadcast. And yeah, quite an adventure today. 7 hours wait at the airport before I was able to enter the country because of some passport-related issues. But all is well. We are here. Looking forward to the group tomorrow. There is no place in the world like Israel. 866-348-7884. Anything you want to talk to me about, I've just opened up the phone. Have a little fun today, and then we've got some great broadcasts planned for you over the course of the rest of the week. But first, let's go to Fab in Boston. Welcome to Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Okay, so I have a question. Now, it's in relation to infant baptism. Okay? I know your beliefs on it, that you believe in a believer's baptism and it's not circumcision, right? But a while back, there was discussion on communion, how communion is really, that whole event was Pesach, right? And it became a tradition within the church of every time they gathered. And you believed at that time that it was likely inspired by the Holy Spirit. So my question is there a possibility that infant baptism is a tradition or a cultural practice that also could have been inspired by the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, so, Fab, it's not my position or my understanding, and because I don't believe that infant baptism is scriptural, therefore I don't believe it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, with all respect to my Christian friends that practice infant baptism. And I do know that it has a tradition going back to the early centuries of the church. And I appreciate the idea of consecrating a child to the Lord. I appreciate the idea of baptism somehow being like a circumcision for all believers. I just don't see that taught scripturally. I see baptism always as response to faith, response to repentance. Even in Acts 16, where it says Paul says to the jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. He then preaches to the jailer's whole household, and they all believe and are baptized. So in that case, once again, we see an example of the gospel being preached, people hearing the message, and then people believing and being baptized. So I see nothing. It's clear. It's very, very clear in the New Testament Jewish context that baptism is a rite of repentance. Baptism is a rite of cleansing. And it was for believers responding to God in a certain way. It was not like a circumcision or something like that. So in any case, a Catholic apologist would always point back and try to give scriptural background, Jewish background, to show the validity of their position. With all respect to my Catholic friends, I simply differ there. Hey, Fab, I appreciate the call. 866-348-7884. So back to this bit about intercession, back to talking to you about persevering in prayer. Friends, the big things, the life and death things, the miraculous things, the things that require divine intervention on a very high level, they are not simply going to happen overnight. They are not simply going to happen because I prayed a prayer one time or you prayed a prayer one time. If it did happen because I prayed a prayer once, you prayed a prayer once, ours must have been the top prayer of the mountain after a whole mountain of prayers and prayers prayed already. You know, when you have things that affect a whole nation, when you have things that bring about massive turning, that happens to prayer. And just think about it. If you and I could sit back, just pray one prayer, Lord, save the whole world. Lord, bring peace to the whole earth. Then why pray tell, all praying for things for years and years and years? Why have we been praying the Lord's Prayer for 2,000 years? You say that's frustrating. It can be frustrating unless you realize that every prayer prayed faith makes a difference. I think of it like chopping down a giant tree. You're chopping down this giant tree, and you've got a relatively small axe, and you're hitting away, and it doesn't look like anything's happening. And you think, man, I'm wearing this axe, axe out and nothing's happening, but every blow of the axe makes a difference. At a certain point, you see the tree being penetrated. At a certain point, the axe is going in deeper and deeper to start coming out of angles, and final blow, that final blow that knocks the tree over. But every blow is important. I remember reading about Amy Carmichael when she was a young lady living in Ireland before giving her life as a missionary, ultimately to India. And she was with an older brother in a wife, and they were in the horror call, and there were stone breakers working on the road, so I guess they just have these massive anvils, hammers, whatever it is, and their mallets, they're pounding on the ground to break it, or breaking stones, and then, you know, boom, 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 and then boom, finally, stone shatters. And he asked her, which was the blow that broke the stone? Well, naturally, you would say the last blow. That's the one, just like the last chop of the axe that felled the tree. And he said, no, every blow is the blow that breaks the stone. That's how you have to look at praying, that every prayer makes a difference. If you're praying the will of God and you're praying in faith, then 1 John 5 tells us that we know we have the things that we asked for. So that means that there are times when we must persevere. We must go against all opposition. Luke 18, and I know this is important for some of you. I don't know if the Lord just got a word for some of you. I just know with all the people listening to this broadcast that this is relevant for some of you. Statistically, it's a given, right? Plus, I feel burdened to share it as well. But some of you feel like you have been knocking your head against the wall, praying for a wayward child you raised in the Lord. And that child is now worse, not better. You think, what's the use of praying? We felt burdened. We weep under the burden. We cry out, and yet it seems no breakthrough. Friend, every prayer you prayed has been done. Every prayer you've prayed has made a difference if you've lifted it up to God in faith, and you know what's been happening. This has been breaking, or the conviction rise, or God bringing that person to the end of themselves, where suddenly they'll have a revelation of who God is and get radically transformed and come back home, or whatever the thing is that you're praying for. I've been sharing words of encouragement with lately that things that we have prayed for, cried out for more than 25 years, often with tears, often with great burden, often with agony of heart, often wondering, Lord, how long? Why the wait? And we're seeing some of these things answered now after more than 25 years of contending for promises. So I want to encourage you. Jesus gives us a parable in Luke 8. And he says that people should pray always and not faint. Lean in, not lose heart. And in point of fact, it is very easy for us to cave in. Very easy for us to lose heart. Very easy for us to get discouraged, because the battle, especially for large things, for consequential things, is often a long battle. And trust me, I am especially reminded of this being in Israel now, as I started the broadcast talking about Isaiah 62 and God telling the intercessors, watchmen he's put on the walls of Israel, not only to give him no rest, but to give themselves no rest until they establish Jerusalem, the praise of all the earth. Well, that's over 2,500 years old, that word. There are people praying for the fulfillment of that word and for God to make Jerusalem the praise of all the earth for more than 2,500 years. yet the answer is nearer now than it's ever been. The breakthrough is nearer now than it's ever been. And often, remember, it is the times of deepest darkness that precede glorious light. The night, in the middle of the night that it's darkest, before things begin to get brighter and brighter and brighter. So many times it seems that all hope is lost. When it seems that things have never been worse than they are at a particular time, that's the time right before the breakthrough comes. What times is it that we the strength of His grace when we come to the end of our own strength, the end of our own wisdom, the end of our own ability? Friends, many of you praying for revival in the church in America, many of you praying for a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution for our society. These things have been deep prayers of mine for many, many years, prayers that the Holy Spirit inspired me to pray. But also, things don't just happen overnight. I know that the type of change that we're praying for is not something that's going to come in a moment and be gone in a moment. We're talking about our kids' world, a better world than we grew up. It's impossible with people, but with God, it can be done. So I want to encourage all, throw in the towel, especially been praying for years. Say, yeah, but everything's gotten worse. That could be because the breakthrough is near. It could be that things seem to be getting worse because God is about to move in a profound way, or because He already is moving in a profound way. And that's why it looks like the unraveling is coming, because something's happening behind the scenes. All right, 866-348-7864. I will never stop encouraging you. I will never stop helping to feed you with faith, peace, and courage, friends. One big reason we are on the air 5 days a week live. 866-34-TRUTH.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to introduce you to Trivita's multi-collagen formula. If there was ever a message I would want the world to hear, it would be about the importance of supplementing the body with its most abundant protein, known as collagen. Studies have shown multiple health benefits by supplementing with collagen. Trivita's multi-collagen formula does not have just one or two types of collagen, or even three, but five forms of collagen shown to support healthy tendons, ligaments, skin, hair, nails, bones, muscles, gut lining, and even the arteries and veins. Trivita did not stop there. Each of the five forms of collagen in Trivita's multi-collagen formula are hydrolyzed, which increases maximum absorption. Trivita's multi-collagen formula is an easy dissolving powder that can be added to your favorite beverages and even soups in your favorite recipes. Each serving of Trivita's multi-collagen formula provides 9 grams of protein, is gluten-free, GMO-free, hormone-free, and sourced from grass-fed bovine, cage-free chickens, and even wild-caught fish. And you can rest assured that Trivita's multi-collagen formula is manufactured right here in the United States of America.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584, 800-771-5584, or online at Trivita.com as a Trivita introductory offer. Use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. That number again is 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire as we come your way live from Israel. 866-348-7884. By the way, I was getting some texts earlier today from our buddy John Cooper. They just had an amazing tour of Europe, sold out meetings or concerts in different parts of Europe, and bringing hope and the healing message of the gospel in the midst of their performances. So really neat to hear that, and I love hearing the voice of John Cooper and the sound of Skillet at the beginning of all of our segments. All right, 6634 Truth. A question on YouTube from Paradigm. How do you explain different age of Ahaziah, so Ahaziah, and 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles does not give us the physical age of Ahaziah, but his age of the reign of Omri. Okay, I'm not going to get into a detailed answer here, but just two things. Sometimes a different date is given in terms of, okay, this is how old this person was, and they X number of years. And another will say, well, they began to reign so-and-so, who was reigning in another kingdom, was this age. So this king in the kingdom of Israel began reigning while so-and-so was this age of the kingdom of Judah, or had been reigning X number of years. So it all depends on the vantage. Like I could say, at Donald Trump became president at a certain age, Joe Biden became president at a certain age, or I could talk about comparing when Joe Biden became vice president to become president, etc., and shift the years there. The other thing is that there are clearly issues in the numbers in First and Second Chronicles, First and Second Kings. There are some discrepancies. There are discrepancies to convert and reconstruct accordingly. And let's see, Kapap Kapper on YouTube. Is it true that black people are the true Israelites? No, of course not. The vast majority of blacks worldwide are not connected to ancient Israel, but there are certainly are good numbers of blacks that can trace a lineage back to Israel. The original Israelites, as best as I understand, would have been brown-skinned Middle East people, not black, not white, brown skin. And in any case, over the century, and some darker than others, for sure, they definitely weren't white. Over the century, as the people of Israel have been scattered around the world and intermarried with the surrounding peoples, then you ended up with Asian Jews, you ended up with African Jews, you ended up with American Jews, say Caucasian Jews, etc. So the European Jews. So this is through intermarriage in different parts of the world, which is why Jews look so different. But you could just check Hebrew Israelite on our website for lots and lots of information there. The whole so-called 12-tribe chart that certain Hebrew Israelites put out, I debate Hebrew Israelite leader, Guerrilla Hebrew, over this, that's completely nonsensical. That's complete fantasy, that the vast majority of African Americans are the tribe of Judah, or Haiti is the tribe of Levi, or Mexico is the tribe of Issachar. That's complete fantasy. That's absolute fantasy. However, there are black Jews in America that believe as many as 200,000 black Americans are actually of Israelite Jewish descent. So some put the number that high, but of course, completely different than the silly 12 tribes chart. All right, let's go over to Rick in Spain. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, praise the Lord, brother. And I had a little question here. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I always wonder who those all are. In other words, specifically, Old Testament saints like King David, Saul, Abraham, Elijah, even some of the ones that had a failure, Ahab, Manna say that repented, will they appear at the judgment seat of Christ, or when they're resurrected, do they have maybe a different judgment that they will go through?
Well, Hebrews 11 says that those Old Testament saints without us could not be made perfect. So we are one. We are one family in the Lord of believers. And we just now bring to completion the promises that they were looking forward to. But they are fellow heirs of the same promise. Abraham is an heir of the same promise. Thus, when we believe, we become children of Abraham by faith, right? And Galatians 3 says right. that the gospel was preached to Abraham. So for sure, as best as I understand it, all believers will appear before the judgment seat of the Messiah. 1 Thessalonians 4 says the order is those who've died in Messiah, so that's all believers up until our day, those who died will be raised and then will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air as he descends to the earth. We escort him back. And then Romans 14:12 does say that we must give account. This is as believers. And then 2 Corinthians 5:10 to receive what was done in the body. And but that is separate, from my understanding, from the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, which is all those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. So this is not a judgment where there is a holy evaluation of our lives. And some of the parables of Jesus point in the same direction, where he talks about the accounting for that which was entrusted to us. 1 Corinthians 3 points in the same direction, that everyone is building differently on the foundation of Christ, whether it's about ministers or all believers, and then the fire will test our work. And that if all the work goes up, in other words, let's say everything I did was done for pride, or was done with some other wrong secret motivation, then that'll all burn up, but I'm still saved, but like one passing through the fire. So it's not a matter of salvation, but of reward and accountability. And that to me would include all believers through all ages, as best as I understand it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, and Rick, if you think also, say, in Hebrews 11, for example, where they're the champions of faith that have gone before us, right? And then I mentioned the end of that, Hebrews saying they without us are not made perfect. And then from there, Hebrews 12, there's this cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Who's the cloud of witnesses? Well, these believers from past generations. They're the cloud of witnesses testifying to God's faithfulness and urging us on to follow the Lord. So that, again, speak of us as all being one spiritual family. Hey, Rick, thank you for the question. Blessings to you from Herzliya in Israel. All right, friends, I wish you could all be here with me. So before the show tonight, I took a walk out. So the hotel is literally right across the street, I mean 10 feet across the street from just a little body of water, whatever it is, and it's the whole little body of water here, it's filled with yachts. So there's must be a lot of money around here, because this can't be cheap to have a yacht there. And it's just gorgeous climate at night, and these outdoor restaurants, and just what a nice place to walk, and then a guy playing guitar, actually playing very nicely, you know, just a street concert. Now, obviously, you have this in different cities around the world and different places around the world, but Israel is unique in that you can go from that, right? You go from the amazing environment in one of these cities, or the very modern, very worldly Tel Aviv, and then be in the old city of Jerusalem, or be in the mystical city of Safat, or be at the synagogue ruins in Capernaum, or be out in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. It's like, oh, unbelievable. And I remember when Nancy and I came here the first time in 1986, at the end of the first tour day, it was coming to minister, came to minister, but the folks that hosted us sent us out on a tour for a few days, and it was really extraordinary. At the end of the day, I remember thinking, what did we see today? What did we take in? This is absolutely remarkable. So please be praying as the tour group will be traveling, that the Lord will meet us, and to have all the hurdles we had on my end the first 24 hours in an unprecedented way tells me that it's going to be a trip that God really does bless. So thanks for standing with us. Thanks for praying. And thanks for your support as we are expanding our Line of Fire outreach. Remember, we still have a matching funds account where your giving this month will be doubled. So go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate and matching funds. And you're helping us as we expand a radio broadcast across the nation. In fact, this coming Monday, today's Tuesday, just get my bearings straight here in Israel. Yeah, 6 days from now, we launch live into the great city of Chicago. Yeah, so a great time for us to minister grace and encourage the front lines and the many non-believers and many that have fallen away. It's a great opportunity to reach out together. Blessings to you from the heart of God, as I'm in the heart of the land of Israel.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.